Okay, well, June the 19th, 2010, has finally dawned. We're actually in the Middlesbrough Library area, and we're with the fantastic Sarah Dennis and Sarah. This is it. Middlesbrough Literary Festival 2010 about to start.
This is it. We can't believe it's come round so quickly, but here it is, yeah, and we're looking forward to it.
I've seen the tents being erected, or the marquees and the general other things. It's obviously day one. Some great performers here.
Yes, we've got music, poetry, storytelling. We've got music from Daniel Pettit. We've got Andy Broderick and Ray Legg. We've got poetry from some local writers. We've got Richard Millward, of course, who's going to, and the chief executive of Middlesbrough Council, Ian Parker, is going to kick it all off for us.
Fantastic. Now, obviously, Richard, known for his apples, which was featured last week in a stage production, of course, with Middlesbrough Music Live. It does seem, I mean, the general sense is that, yeah, weather's a bit challenging at present, but and obviously there are challenges with the World Cup that's going on, but this is going to be a goodie.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. I'm hoping for good weather this afternoon as well. The tent's not blown away yet, so fingers crossed.
Precisely. Positive thinking. That's the best way forward. Now, as we actually sort of move through the weeks, any particular highlights you'd like to sort of bring out? I mean, I'm particularly interested in Christina Jones. She obviously is one of the early sort of people who's coming along.
Yeah, we're really pleased that Christina Jones agreed to come along. She's coming on Monday, so she's our first event that's inside a library. So she's coming on Monday, and we're hoping to get a lot of people to come and see her. We're also looking forward, of course, to Sarah Waters on the 1st of July, Marina Fiorato, Ricky Ash is coming as well, Stuntman. There's just so much, really, but people can go on our website and download a brochure.
As the website rightly says, it's something for everybody, all sorts, a mixture of all sorts. The web address, of course, is
www.middlesbrough.gov.uk/litfest.
And we'll be simply providing a little audio postcard of the event today. Sarah will be back with you very soon.
Thank you.
Okay, well, the tension is mounting, but the excitement is also mounting here as far as the Middlesbrough Literary Festival is actually concerned. We've been joined by two of our fine assistants today, production assistants extraordinaire Emma Robinson. Good to see you, Emma.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, Joe Hudson. Good to see you, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Joe and Emma will be joining us together, of course, with the delightful Jill Appleton, who's currently busily... I can't believe, Jill, are these books being given away absolutely free?
Yes, absolutely free. Promoting reading in Middlesbrough.
And is this something which will be occurring throughout the festival at various other events?
Yes, I would think so. If we always have these quick reads available, so you just need to ask and we'll find you one.
And just looking through some of the titles, I mean, some wonderful classic authors here. Emma, just talk us through which ones we've got.
Well, there's one book by Rolf Harris, which everyone will know, about his dog, Buster Fleabags, and our experiences with him. And then there's Alvin Hall, Bernardine Evaristo, Peter James...
Andy McNab, of course, known for SAS routine. And if I'm talking Andy McNab for SAS, then certainly a gentleman who could be defined as the SAS of the folk music scene has to be Andy Broderick. See what I did there, Andy?
That was great, that. I'm impressed. It's a skill, I'm sure. You've got to nurture that over the years.
I like to think I can do it. You know, with a range of bovine stuff, we can work through it. That's the important thing. Andy, it's good to see you almost ready to actually go on stage. You're on, of course, later on this afternoon. Your session at Southside went down tremendously well. Are you looking forward to the festival today?
Oh, very much.
So what sort of things are we likely to be hearing from your good self?
Well, we have a set of 10 songs, and about half of it is stuff that Ray and I have composed ourselves and that I've written the lyrics for, and the other half would be traditional songs, folk songs, like mostly Irish, and we also have a cover version from the great Lal Waterson.
Yeah, makes sense. That works well. Emma, question to myself. Speechless, obviously. You see, it's standard musician and blonde, fantastic individual. Go speechless.
How did you get into this music scene?
Oh, into the music scene? Well, it was a sort of a musical family. My mother's family were very musical, and my father's as well, actually.
It's like the Nolans, possibly?
Well,
no, maybe not. No. The cause, perhaps?
Not as good looking. But, yeah, so it was always around, really. And although I didn't actually start playing until I was quite late on, about 20, and, you know, I was more into drawing and painting, actually, which is what I do for a living, until more, you know, like the last couple of years now, I've been starting to get some gigs and like getting some money for them and stuff, you know, semi-professional, you know.
Exactly. It's a semi-professional scenario. We move full professional as we go along. Joe, questions from yourself.
What inspires you to, like, in your lyrics?
All right. I would say The events of life and how I respond to them, I'd say that's the biggest influence.
Yeah, that's a really crucial line that you actually raised there, Andy, because clearly there's a gentleman called Signor Capello, who's currently in South Africa, who might actually be looking for some inspiration for, you know, about 23 folk who he's currently working with. What sort of things could you offer there?
Well, I play all right on the right wing, actually. I'm not too bad there, though.
You're offering yourself. What can we say? Yeah, there we are. A late routine. I'm not sure whether FIFA rules would allow that.
To Aaron Lennon, like.
Or indeed nationality. I mean, I'm not sure whether sort of perhaps, you know, there'll be questions raised from shall we say, the Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland camps there. But, you know, it's a possibility.
Well, my mother often told me I was conceived in England, so that might...
That's it, then. Yeah, fine. I mean, clearly, Aaron Lennon, sort of eat your heart out. Andy Broderick is on the next flight over to South Africa. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting in association with Ather & Co. from, of course, the fabulous Middlesbrough Literary Festival 2010 and All's Well with the World. OK, we've been joined now by whom, Emma?
Christina Cook from Southside Broadcasting.
There we are, Christina Cook from Southside Broadcasting, possibly De Montfort University shortly, although I can't understand why she's actually passing out of Lincoln. Good morning, Christina, how are you?
Good morning, I'm OK, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you've made it here to the festival where you've already done a piece with Andy Broderick. What are you most looking forward to today?
Seeing Tallulah Rendell, I think.
I knew you'd say that. Tragically, Tallulah's cellist has broken her wrist, and so Tallulah is unable to be here today.
Oh, no.
I knew that had to be said, you know, at least once, but that is the case. However, she sends her abject apologies, and we have got lots of other exciting things that are happening, so hopefully you won't be too disappointed.
No, hopefully not.
Precisely so. I can tell Emma, obviously, you've nearly had to be restrained from walking off there.
I'm sure there's lots of other interesting things going on today, so I'm sure you won't be too disappointed.
Precisely, including, as you say, these free books which are available. So there we are, Christina, you can take a batch of books to actually help you in moments of boredom when you head off to Spain, wondering, what can I do now, which book shall I read?
I did wonder that, actually. What was I going to do when I go? So lots of books to read now.
Okay, we're continuing the sort of the build-up here now, still with Andy Broderick. Now, Andy, you've brought a fine individual along here who I believe will be performing with you.
Yes, this is Ray Legg here, my fine fiddle-playing friend.
I like that alliteration, fine fiddle-playing friend. Ray, good to meet you.
Hello there.
Excellent. Let's go straight to Emma. Emma, questions for Ray.
How did you and Andy get, like, become a team?
Well, to be quite honest, he saw me busking one day, didn't you, Andy?
That's right, Ray, yeah.
And his little girl used to go to school, my little girl, and we got to know each other prior to him spotting me busking one day with my violin. And they got to know each other, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Saoirse and Olivia.
That's right, yeah.
And then when you spotted me busking and I was playing some Irish jigs and things... He invited me round to his flat to try some fiddle and guitar playing with his Irish songs, you know.
And that's an interesting line, isn't it? You know, come around to my flat and let's try some Irish fiddling. Yeah. Yeah, I must remember that for future reference.
I made him a cheese sandwich as well, eh?
Yeah. Okay.
He's a trained chef, is Andy. He's a qualified trained chef as well.
Do you know, he kept this very quiet. Aaron, did you know that this gentleman was a trained chef? I mean, Aaron, what's going on here?
Well, I need a few chefs, so you can feel free to come down and cook any time you want.
Well, you see, that was what I was afraid of. He'd get me to come down and cook in his kitchen. Be like Gordon Ramsay's, you know.
But without the F word, thank you. Thankfully. Okay, Emma. No, we'll go to Joe.
Well, why the violin? So, why that instrument? Why not?
Well,
double bass, cello.
Well, I was just fortunate that my father, who used to work in Furness's shipyard at Havant Hill, he was talking to a friend of his at work one day, another crane driver, and he had an old violin for sale. And he came round one day from work, you know, and said, would you like to buy the violin for Ray, you know? And it was just an old battered little instrument. And my dad bought it for me, and that's how I started playing the violin, you know.
Fantastic. Lots of wonderful tales, lots of narratives. It's a great thing at the Middlesbrough Festival. Christina?
Did you teach yourself to play then, or did you learn, like, did you get taught?
My dad played me, taught me a few tunes to play because he was quite a good banjo player at the time, you know. And during the war, he was a good banjo player in dance bands and things, you know. And he taught me to play a couple of tunes on me fiddle. And gradually, I got into tuition at school up till I was 15, you know, and I left school at 15. Then I joined the forces as a musician.
And the world has never looked back, I'm sure. Fantastic stuff there. Aaron, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, obviously, and it's very folky, Irish folk music. Was that your style before you meeting them?
It wasn't actually, no. You were a bluegrass... well, I suppose it's a strand of folk, but it was a different kind of folk. Yeah, he was a bluegrass fiddler. And, I mean, Ray is more of a classical violinist, I would say. I mean, you're not really a folk fiddler, are you, Ray, would you say?
Not really, no, but I think...
You slam it every so often, presumably.
You know, it's quite nice to play a sort of a classical style, you know, with a traditional singer. And it's a combination I've never sort of played with before, you know, as regards classical music and playing, like, as the violin rather than fiddle. And it tends to sort of blend quite well, doesn't it, with your traditional songs, you know?
Yeah, it makes for a kind of a unique style, I think. Yeah, that's what we were saying before, wasn't it? That fusion, it's kind of an unusual style, yeah.
I think it's great. And I love the way you actually got together, busking your children, blame it on the children, not the parents.
It was lovely. I was just saying it was lovely, because our kids made friends first. We were walking up to school one day, weren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
And we didn't know each other at all then, and the two lasses were like skipping along, and it was like, all right then, how are you doing? You know,
it's like a scene from a Hollywood musical, isn't it? Fantastic. Well, I do know that Emma, Christina, Joe, and Aaron will be giving you 4 thumbs up lots of thumbs up anyway. Fingers, I don't know. Great to see you guys. See you later.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Alex. Cheers.
Thank you.
For a short time, while the burden of beans puts a stress on the seams of your soul. I've got my old issues in tow, buried beneath plaster, horse hair and line the same. Weak spots are there, though I've tried to repair all the holes. Intentions are pure and I'm not insecure, and it's with you I do want to live. But the gift that you bring, this beautiful thing, is no longer yours to give. And the veil's already been lifted, your life has already been gifted. I know in my heart there's somebody in yours, and he's not going to be shifted. Imagine you discovered a mine, and buried within was a treasure so fine. All your passionate fires and the burning desires of your heart. But just as you start to heal, you discover somebody's already been through, and they've bled the place dry. It was all just a lie from the start. You say that it's me, but I can plainly see that your memory gives no reprieve. 'Cause till death do us part, applies to the heart, even when brain tries to leave. And the veil's already been lifted, your life has already been gifted. I know in my heart there's somebody in yours, and he's not going to be shifted. on the veil's already been lifted. Your life has already been gifted. I know in my heart there's somebody in yours, and he's not going to be shifted. I know in my heart there's somebody in yours, and he's not going to be shifted.
Brilliant, brilliant. What do you think?
That was really good. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
Cheers.
I have to say, much better actually than I expected in terms of actually having heard, obviously, the recordings. Oh, hearing really? It live, fantastic.
Oh, great. Thanks very much, Alex. Cheers.
Brilliant stuff. And, of course, your violinist extraordinaire, top stuff.
Oh, thanks very much.
did you see what I mean, Alex, about the classical style of violin playing? You know, it's...
Fantastic. It's so much better than the Vuvuzelas.
Yeah. yeah.
Everybody to actually join us inside the tent. It might be slightly inclement outside, but in our hearts, it's the Middlesbrough Literary Festival. We're delighted to sort of say hello, welcome, etc. I'm just here to actually introduce some of the many fine acts, some of the fantastic individuals that we've got today. We've got Richard Millward, we've got the fantastic Joy of Andy Broderick, we've got lots of poets, etc. But the person who actually kicked off this fantastic Middlesbrough Book Festival with an idea that she had about 18 months or so ago, and she thought this would be a good idea to actually set up a good festival, etc., is the young lady who's going to be effectively having a few words of welcome to the festival before we move into the official opening, before any other excitement to work through. Can I ask you to give a wonderful big round of applause to Sarah Dennis? Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Middlesbrough Literary Festival 2010. We hope you enjoy the day, and we hope that you come to many of the events that we've got going on throughout the 6 weeks that follow. Our highlights include the opening event today, including Richard Millward, we've got Daniel Pettit, we've got Andy Broderick, and the only, unfortunately, Tallulah Rendell couldn't make it because a cellist had an injury, so I'm afraid that Tallulah won't be here today. We've also got some of the finest local poets who are coming to read for you, and we've got a little bit of acoustic music in there as well. But if everybody takes a brochure, please take a brochure, pass it on to your family, pass it on to your friends. Come and see Sarah Waters, come and see Tim Moulton, about who tells you 101 things you didn't know about the Titanic. Come and see... Who else have we got? My mind's gone blank.
Just have a
Juliet Gardner. Yeah, come see Juliet Gardner, Jill Dawson, Christina Jones on Monday. Please have a look through your brochure, visit our website, have a look on Facebook, and please, please join us to celebrate the word in all its forms. I'm going to hand back over to Alex, and he's going to introduce the rest of the day for you. So thank you so much for coming, and I hope to see you throughout the next 6 weeks. Thank you.
One of the great things about the Middlesbrough Literary Festival is that we go on for 6 weeks, not 4 or 5 days. That actually just shows Middlesbrough moving forward in every sense of the word. I'm delighted now to be able to welcome a gentleman who's going to epitomise that and continues to move us forward progressively, the Chief Executive of Middlesbrough Council, Mr. Ian Parker. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have to say that is the most upbeat introduction I've ever had in my life, so I'm sorry to disappoint you. I feel a bit like the imposter in a day like today. My background is civil engineering. We used to say I went to university in Bradford, and they used to tell this story of a lecturer going into a lecture hall in three departments. And in each department, the lecturer said, "Good morning." In the social science department, the student said, "It depends what you mean by good." In the science department, the student said, "Well, it depends what you mean by morning." And in the engineering department, we wrote it down. So that's my heritage with words. This is the second year of the Literary Festival. And first of all, I'd like to congratulate the Libraries and Information Service for putting this together. It's a fantastic achievement. To run a festival like this. I'd like to thank all the partners, but words are funny things, aren't they? And they change in popularity. The current government don't like the P word of partners. I'm not sure what's replacing it, but it symbolised a word that was used a lot by the previous government. So that's a funny thing, isn't it, about words? There's a series of events over 6 weeks. That's fantastic. And the aim is, I've been told, to celebrate the word in all its forms, written, spoken, and sung. And it strikes me words have amazing power and versatility. From basic information, I got some words this morning on my mobile phone. The transporter bridge is closed due to high winds. And actually, even words like that can invoke deep emotions. 3 years ago, I was walking the coast to coast. I stood on a mountain in the Lake District. I was looking over one side, seeing the Sea of Morecambe Bay. It was bright sun. I had all the Lake Districts in front of me. And the other way, I could see the Yorkshire Dales starting to unfold. And it was a fantastic experience. And then my phone bleeped. There was a text and it said, "The transporter bridge closed to fog." And I thought, yes. That's funny, isn't it, how words can have a different impact in a different place. Words have amazing power to hurt. In that most brutal of environments, the school playground, we used to say, "Sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me." But I can still remember words that were said to me in the school playground in Green Lane, long after the bruises and bumps and scrapes and cuts of the playground have gone away and been forgotten. Words have the great power to encourage and inspire. Running past that same school in the Middlesbrough 10K run, I don't know if has anybody here done the 10K run? Yeah, well, you'll know that when you run from Bellevue Roundabout to Acklam Road, that is a real grind. And about Green Lane School, you're really starting to hurt. And there's one of the colleagues from Middlesbrough Council just said five words which kept me going and got me up that hill. And they were, "Well done, Ian, keep going." And words have amazing power, don't they, even in their simplest form. I think words can move us with their beauty. They can challenge us. They can invoke deep and differing emotions. And it's funny, isn't it, that I've talked about the change of the partnership word and the way people respond to that. Words can change in the emotional impact they have on us in a stroke. Words which once filled us with excitement, anticipation and hope can suddenly change to fill us with despondency, disappointment and despair. Words like Gerrard, Lampard, Rooney have suddenly changed in their emotional impact that they have on us. So words are just amazing things. We use thousands of them every day without a moment's thought. But the power and the depth and the versatility of words is just amazing. Words help us discover. In my work, I have to read a lot of words, and a lot of words I don't like very much when I read them in the context of work. I had some words put to me this week, and they said, "You have got," and I'm paraphrasing, "you have got £2.7 million less money this year, sort it out." So words kind of come like a bombshell sometimes, but we discover things with words. And one of the things I've discovered over the last couple of years, words have become very functional to me in my work. I have to read lots of documents, lots of reports. I feel like slitting my wrists when I read some of them. I feel like slitting my wrists at the thought of reading some of them. But a couple of years ago, a group of my family and friends, we started a reading group. People were talking about reading groups, so we thought, well, we could do that. We meet once a month in a pub just outside Hartlepool, about a dozen of us. We choose our books sort of by rotation. We do a range of books. And that's been that is just a great night out. On those evenings, we talk about all sorts of things: religion, politics, society, people, values, sex. We do it in a non-threatening way because we're talking about a book, and people just open up and share something of themselves around the words that they've read. And I suppose what I would like from the next 6 weeks is that many people in Middlesbrough and surrounding areas, they discover new ways to appreciate and understand and enjoy what words can do for us. So without further ado, I'll pass over to one of the experts rather than me, I'd just like to congratulate again all the staff and people who put this together. Thank all the people who are taking part of it. And I won't be able to stay much today because I'm going up to Glasgow to see Paul McCartney at Hampden Park tomorrow. And Paul McCartney, of course, coined one of the great lines of pop music, "In this ever-changing world in which we live in," about which my daughter says, "There's just too many ins in that line, aren't there?" And there are, but it seems to work somehow. So I'll have to go in about an hour's time. But thank you all for listening, and really take full advantage of the next few weeks, and I hope you enjoy it and discover more about the fantastic versatility and beauty of words. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Interesting, so Paul McCartney, I think it goes, in this ever-changing world in which we live in, we used to say live and let live, now we say live and let die. No, we say live and let live here at Middlesbrough. Gentlemen, who will be the 21st century's answer to Paul McCartney? I know this because I interviewed him last year on Southside Broadcasting when I was intrigued by the fact that he said he always did a performance with a hat. Well, it's very bizarre, but yes, he does. And I can see the hat now. I'll be vacating the stage. If I mentioned Apples, 10-story love song, the joy of actually celebrating the talent of Middlesbrough to the world, from Middlesbrough and beyond, can I ask you to give a huge welcome to the enormously talented, with hat, with wonderful sort of headgear design, etc., Richard Millward. Thank you.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here again, the second literary festival, and you can guarantee that the performances today will be far better than the boys last night. I'm jumbling my words here. I'll get on with it. I'm going to read you extracts from both my books, Apples and 10 Story Love Song. I'm going to read 10 Story first. And for your visual pleasure, please allow me to turn my face into a block of flats. Like so. Johnny shuffles his trainers on the flowery carpet, leaving behind vaguely muddy footprints. Then he asks his mum, "So you've been all right then?" Jean turns her head 180 degrees, like an owl spotting a delicious mouse. But instead of devouring her own son, she replies, "Oh yeah, I've been great. Back to my old self. Ooh, these pills are a breath of fresh air. I've never felt better. It's like, ooh, it's like I'm all in love with life again." Jean's voice rings in his ears and tingles his fingers and toes, like someone playing a wonderful miniature piano on his mother's tongue. How amazing it is to hear that your mother's back to normal after months and months of wobbling on the railings of Suicide Mountain. Johnny remembers the onset of a menopause well, Jean spending every evening in floods of tears, scolding Johnny for not having a job, Robbie for getting under his feet and banging his new girlfriend a little bit too loudly in the bedroom next door, and even Barry got the brunt of it despite being a blessed first son, making it to business college in Stockton, but happening to phone her for a £500 loan at a very, very wrong time.